The Song of Solomon, chapter 5. We're turning again to the verse 8. In verse 8, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him that I am sick of love, lovesick for Christ. Let me just briefly recap what we have already considered regarding this text of Scripture. We noted a few weeks ago the bride and her lament. She had already lamented the withdrawal of her beloved, because when she rose up to open her beloved, she discovered that he had withdrawn himself and was gone. Then we noted that when she went out into the streets of Jerusalem, she met the watchman. And the watchman, we are told, found her. She says, they smote me, they wounded me, the keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. Verse 7. We said that the watchman would be a type of the watchmen we have in our churches, namely our elders, whom we read about and read about in Hebrews 13, verses 7 and 19, or verse 17, who watch for our souls. They are the watchmen in our churches. We noted also the wounding, because in verse 7, the watchman, she said, smote me and wounded me. What was the wounding? What was the smiting? It certainly wasn't a physical wounding or smiting. But being the watchman, did they not rebuke her for her slowness and her slumbering and being slow to open the door to her beloved? And just as the watchmen in our churches at times must reprove and rebuke those in the congregation who perhaps they see are slackening off in their walk with God, they have to speak to them and even gently rebuke them, and they may feel wounded and feel they have been smitten, but it's all for a purpose, to make them better believers, that they might grow up into spiritual men and women. 2 Timothy 3 verses 16 and 17. As well as the watchmen and the wounding, we noted also the willingness. That is, whatever the watchman said by way of wounding the bride or the Shulamite, whatever they said, we find that she received the word. She accepted the rebuke. How do I know? Well, if you look there in the verse 7, the watchmen that went about the city found me. They smote me, they wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. And then the next verse, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved. In other words, she didn't retaliate to what the watchmen had said to her. She accepted it. She willingly received the word of rebuke, because the very next verse tells us that she had gone out into the streets of the city and was addressing the daughters of Jerusalem, her friends in the city, that if they happen to see or find her beloved, tell him that I am sick of love. There's her willingness. Her willingness to accept the rebuke. She received the word. We know that also she responded to the word. Isn't it good when we respond to the word of God? Well, we find that she responded. Because once again, the verse 8 tells us that she went out into the streets of the city in search of her beloved. That's how she responded. So as well as seeing the bride and her lament, we began to look at the bride and her longing. After her meeting with the watchmen, we see how the bride begins her search for her beloved. She had opened the door of her home, but her beloved had stood knocking for so long and even called out to her. And she said, "I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved." So as well as the beloved knocking, as well as hearing his voice, as well as knowing that he was standing outside and his locks dropped with the dew of the night, still she did not open to him until she saw his hand by the lock of the door, and she was moved. Because seeing his hand spoke to her of his love. And really, if we were to see the hand of Christ that would speak to us of his love, for we would see a nail-pierced hand, and that would be enough to stir us up, as it stirred up the bride. We notice then the absence. The bride and her longing. Why did she long after her beloved? Because he was absent from her. Apart from what the watchman said to her, it was the absence of her beloved that prompted her to seek him. It is very evident that there was a longing in her heart to be with him once again. She felt the absence of her beloved. Have we ever felt the absence of our beloved? Or are we continually in close fellowship and communion with him? We have often quoted the words of Spurgeon. And Spurgeon said once that he never prayed for more than 15 minutes. But there were never 15 minutes that would go by in which he didn't pray. That means that Spurgeon was in communion with his Lord all the time. All the time. And here the bride, her beloved had left. And she longed after him. He was absent from her. She felt the absence of her beloved. Whenever someone that we love is absent from us, we long after them. We can't wait to see them once again. And again, we think of the words of Job, when the Lord, for a season, withdrew himself from Job and stood back, as it were, in the shadows. He was there all the time, but Job was not aware of his presence. And what did Job pray? Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might even come to his seat. She felt the absence of her beloved so much, that it made her sick. For she says, "Tell him that I am sick of love." We mentioned Mary Magdalene at the sepulchre. And she went there hoping to see her beloved. But the tomb was empty and he was gone. And she cried out, I know not where they have led him. And she wept after him until he appeared unto her and said, Woman, why weepest thou? Have you ever felt the absence of Christ, the absence of our beloved? Have you ever felt the absence of his favor? David did. David often made mention of how he felt, but the absence of the Lord. Didn't he say once, has the Lord forgotten to be gracious? Has he forgotten me? David felt the absence of his Lord. Have we ever felt that absence? When the Lord withdraws himself, perhaps because of our sinfulness, because we have grieved him, and he withdraws himself. Oh, has there ever been that longing after him when we have felt the absence of his favor, the absence of his fellowship, the absence of his friendship? We pointed out too that sometimes the Lord can be absent from us and we don't even know it. We don't even know it. Because really we're not used to being in continual fellowship with him. Samson didn't know it. He didn't know the Lord had withdrawn himself. And Samson became just like any other man. And he paid the price, didn't he? We notice the absence, and then we have her action. After receiving a wounding word from the watchman, the bride wasted no time in going in search of the one she loved. Because here we see that her action was immediate. We look again at those two verses, verse 7. The watchmen that went about the city found me. They smote me, they wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. She's obviously out in the streets. And the next verse says, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, you find my beloved, that you tell him that I am sick of love. She's going through the streets of the city in search of her beloved. And once she was wounded by the watchman, she went in search of her beloved immediately. She didn't go back to her home. She didn't go back to her slumbers. No, she's out in the streets of the city in search of her beloved. And she told the daughters of Jerusalem, if you find him, tell him that I am sick of love. She couldn't bear another day without his company, without communion with him, without his companionship. To be without those things was more than she could bear, and the thought of it made her sick. She was lovesick for her beloved. She must take action to find him, him whom her soul loveth. She must take action to find him whom she had grieved because of her slumbering and her slowness. And when we have grieved our dear Lord in a similar way and even driven him from us, surely we must take action, and we must take it immediately and seek our beloved and seek him whom our soul loveth. It was not only immediate action. We notice her intense action. Upon discovering that her beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone, we are then told that what she did, we're told that she sought him but could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. Verse 6, she first of all sought him. That wasn't enough. She then called him. That wasn't enough. And we get to verse 8 and we find she's now out in the street searching for him. She went out into the city where the watchmen met her. And she inquired of the daughters of Jerusalem. She sought him. She called him. Then she went seeking him out in the streets of the city. Here was the bride's longing for and longing after the one whom she loved, who was now absent. Her actions can be summed up by the words of David in Psalm 38, verses 9 and 10. There David says, Lord, all my desire is before thee. My heart panteth. My strength faileth me. Lord, all my desire is before thee. David is saying, Lord, I love thee. And then he goes on to say, my heart panteth. The word panteth that is used there in that Psalm 38, the word panteth means to go about. To go about in search of something. As far as David was concerned, he says, Lord, my desire is before thee. And my heart goeth about, panteth after thee. Have we ever panted after Christ in this way? Longing to be in intimate communion and fellowship with him. The bride was going about, that's what she was doing. She went about the city. She was, if you like, panting after her beloved. Going about the city. She would not rest until she found him. Again in Psalm 42, if you turn to Psalm 42. And there in Psalm 42, we read those words in the opening part of the psalm, as the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? And here's David in a very similar situation. He's seeking after his Lord. And again he uses the word panteth, but it's a different word than the word panteth in Psalm 38. In Psalm 38, the word panteth there means to go about. That's what the bride was doing. She was going about the city. But here in Psalm 42, when David said, as the hart or the young deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee. There the word is different. There the word means to long for. To long for. David was longing for his God. David was longing for his Lord. Just like the Shulamite in the Song of Solomon. She was going about. She was panting after her beloved, going about the city. And she was longing for him. Longing to see him. Longing to be in his company again. Longing for his, for communion with him. Longing again for his companionship. When did we last express such a longing, such a desire to experience the fragrance of our beloved, the fragrance of his presence, a longing to be brought into his banqueting house, where his banner over us is love, a longing to once again to sense and be able to say, his left hand is under my head and his right hand doth embrace me. Chapter 2, verse 6 of this song. All of this and more the bride desired. Therefore she diligently sought for her beloved. As well as his absence. And her action. We notice also her affection. Why did she long after her beloved? Well, she tells us in the verse 8. She told the daughters of Jerusalem, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him that I am sick of love. There's her affection. That's why she was looking for him. She was lovesick for her beloved. She had a love for him that was great, a love for him that was genuine. And she missed him. They say that absence makes the heart grow fonder. Well, it would certainly appear to be the case here. She had heard the voice of her beloved outside her door. She had heard him knocking. She knew he was there all night, yet she made excuses why she shouldn't open the door to him. But when he withdrew himself and he was absent, it is then that she said, if you find my beloved, will you tell him that I am sick of love? It was her love for her beloved that prompted her into the action to go and seek him. She was prepared to go anywhere to find him. Why? Because she loved him. She was prepared to pay any price and go any distance and do anything to find the one whom she loved. That reminds me of what we read in Genesis 29 and verse 18 about Jacob's love for Rachel. And there in that verse we read, and Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years, said to Laban. I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. He would serve 7 years for the hand of Rachel. Why? Why would he have done that? Why would he have served 7 years? Why? Because he tells us Jacob loved Rachel. And said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. Jacob would have done anything for the hand of Rachel. And here we have the bride. She will do anything. She has sought him. She has called for him. She has gone out into the streets. She has been wounded by the watchman. But still she searches. Why? Because she's in love with her beloved. What will we do for our beloved? What would we do for Christ? Would we say, I'll do anything for my beloved. I'll do anything for my Lord because I love him. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the pleasures of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou, if ever I love thee. My Jesus, 'tis now. I'll do anything for thee. That leads us to our last point. After considering the bride and her lament, and the bride and her longing, we come now to the bride and her love. The bride in her search for her beloved, as we have seen, meets the daughters of Jerusalem. Daughters of Jerusalem would be her friends in the city. And she said to the daughters of Jerusalem, O daughters of Jerusalem, if ye find my beloved, that ye tell him that I am sick of love. So there's the bride and her love. She's lovesick for the beloved. Oh, that we might be lovesick for Christ. I have a desire, one of old said. I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, said Paul. I have a desire to depart and be with Christ. Because Paul loved Christ. He loved his Lord and he desired to be with him. The bride loved her beloved and desired to be with him. And here she tells the daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, will you tell him that I am sick of love? Here we see, first of all, her unashamed love. She was not ashamed to own her beloved and tell others how much she loved him. It's not what she's doing. She's telling those in the streets that she meets in the city, she's telling others that she loves her beloved. So she's not ashamed to tell others. She's not ashamed that others know she loves him. There in chapter 2, in the verse 5, stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. Uses the same words. Chapter 3, verse 2. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets, and in the broad ways I will seek him whom my soul loveth, and sought him, But I found him not. Similar circumstance. Again, she meets the watchmen that go about the city. Found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? Verse 4. It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go. She was unashamed of her love for her beloved. She unashamedly spoke to others and told them how much she loved her beloved. Are we as quick as that? Are we ready to tell others how much we love Christ, that we are in love with him? We may be quick to tell others about material things that we love. But what about spiritual things? And telling others how much we love Christ. That's what the Lord has called us to do. Called us to be witnesses unto him. And you couldn't get a better witness than that, than to tell somebody else how much you love Christ. And trust that they will fall in love with him too. It was unashamed love. I'm not ashamed to own my Lord or to defend his cause. Maintain the honor of his word, the glory of his cross. She was not ashamed of her beloved, and she told others about him. It was an unashamed love. Notice also it was an undivided love. When she speaks to the daughters of Jerusalem about her beloved, she always says, my beloved. My beloved. He's the one I love. She doesn't speak about a love for another, but she speaks about a love for one. She says, he's my beloved. I am his, and he is mine, and his banner over me is love. Isn't that what the Lord has demanded of us? He has, you know. Didn't the Savior say in Mark chapter 12 and verse 30, quoting the commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. But he doesn't finish there. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. And with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. That was the love the bride had for her beloved. She loved him with all of her heart. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. There was no room, there's to be no room in the heart but for Christ alone. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. That surely is undivided love. Christ, our beloved, must have it all. And if the Savior said to us, as he said to Peter, lovest thou me? But he didn't finish there. Lovest thou me more than these? More than all your possessions? More than all that you have? Simon, lovest thou me more than these? Would we be able to say with Simon Peter, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. We notice also it was not only unashamed love, she wasn't afraid of others knowing how much she loved her beloved. Unashamed love, undivided love, because she said, he's my beloved. Was also uncomplaining love. Uncomplaining love. Remember, again, she's gone out into the streets. The watchmen have met her. And the watchmen had wounded her. The watchmen had spoken to her about what she had done and regarding her slackness and her slumbering and allowing her beloved to withdraw himself. They had wounded her. And the next people that she meets are the daughters of Jerusalem. Now, she didn't say to the daughters of Jerusalem, you wouldn't believe what the watchman said to me. You wouldn't believe what the watchman did to me. She doesn't complain about what the watchman had done. And she had said that they smote her and wounded her, but she didn't complain to the children or to the daughters of Jerusalem. The only thing she said was, if you find him, tell him that I am sick of love. However she felt about the watchmen and what they had done, she didn't complain about them. She didn't moan or groan about them. All that she wanted to do was to speak to the daughters of Jerusalem about her love for her beloved. All the Shulamite wanted to talk about was her love for her beloved. Such love for Christ, such love for Christ will overcome all ill feelings we may have toward others. Others may wound us. Others may smite us by their actions and by the things that they say. But if we have a love for Christ, that love for Christ will overcome anything and everything that people may say about us or say against us. And we are able to say, I love him. I love him because he first loved me and gave himself for me. And when we dwell upon such love, what does it matter what people say? What does it matter? We can bathe ourselves in the love of Christ And we can say, I love him because he first loved me. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. And his banner over me is love. Love can conquer many things. And it certainly conquered this woman's heart, because she didn't complain about what the watchman said. She just wanted the daughters of Jerusalem to know, I am lovesick for my beloved. Are we lovesick for Christ? Oh, may the Lord increase that love for the Lord. Increase the flames of love that burn in our heart for the Savior, that we also will be lovesick for the Savior and lovesick for Christ. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let's bow in prayer. O loving God and gracious Father, we again bow humbly before thee. We thank thee, Lord, for loving us. Before we ever knew thee. Yea, Lord, before the hills in order stood or earth received her crown, before, Lord, thou didst put the stars in their places, we were loved then, and we're loved by thee ever since. And Lord, we must confess that sometimes our love, like the sea, ebbs and flows. But thy love for us, no change, Jehovah knows. And so our God, help us to love thee more each day. Help us to love thee more and more each day. That, O Lord, when we miss thee and miss the sense of thy presence, that we'll be able to say, I am sick of love. Write thy holy word upon our hearts. Lord, bless us as we meet around the table. We pray in the Savior's name. Amen.